Okay.
Let's take a look at the virus that is constricting more and more of the culture we rely on for some kind of identity. There's nothing much to do here in a lot of ways. Can't go to the movies, can't go to sports, are obviously not going to happen. 70-something NFL players tested positive now, and doesn't look like it's going to happen, despite the most fervent of hopes and wishes of lots of people in high places. Let me find this one story. Where was that? Okay. Here's one. Fox says, now if they'd listened to Dr. Nyman here, could a second surge of coronavirus deaths be approaching? Well, all of you who have been listening know the answer to that. It's happening. 72 NFL players have tested positive for coronavirus now. Maryland governor chronicles efforts to secure testing supplies as he slams Trump's hopeless response to the pandemic. Governor Georgia Kemp vacates all local mandatory mask ordinances, says masks, however, are encouraged. Californians are turning on one another over this second shutdown there, which is going to eliminate about 50% of the businesses that somehow managed to survive, small businesses, medium businesses, the first shutdown. It's just an economic catastrophe. I really don't think many people understand how bad the damage has been. The face mask controversy. A doctor in Ireland, he did a little video, puts on 6 medical masks and has his blood oxygen level being monitored the full time, and you can see the monitoring, claiming that the masks do not significantly, if at all, lower the amount of oxygen levels in someone's body if they wear a mask. So that's going to kick off, obviously, a controversy. People will be doing tests to try and debunk his test. It just goes on and on and on. Henry, welcome back tonight. How are you?
Well, it's good to be back. It's been a busy day. Today, my tally was the record day. There's been more cases today than U.S. has ever had. And wow. Deaths are going up as predicted. And the controversy over the mask keeps on taking new turns. And the controversy over schools keeps on taking new turns. And they're all pretty predictable, and they're all going in one direction. There is no doubt that the virus is driving the bus here, and you do whatever you want and say, oh, it's really not that bad, or we don't really need to test, or the kids really aren't getting that sick, or it's illegal to to ban masks, or you can say whatever you want. The virus doesn't care. The virus is having a great time. It's just taking off. There's a bunch of idiots in charge and helping it along. They got all these warriors that are falling by the thousands, and it just keeps on rolling.
Well, governor of Oklahoma is infected now after the big Tulsa rally.
It's not just the governor of Oklahoma.
Oh, no.
They got like 31. They got about a 31% positive rate for children in Florida. I mean, these arguments of politicians who don't have a clue what they're talking about, and they just say what they want. They want to hear themselves talk and think you're going to believe them. It just goes on and on. So just to give a sense as to the magnitude on the numbers today, like I say, I track just what the states put out at their websites. It's the 50 states and the District of Columbia. There are other sources that have additional cases that aren't included, like prisons and armed forces and Indian reservations and things along those lines. But the total I have as of California is like at 6:46 local time. I've got 71,128 cases today at 901 deaths. So the 71,000 is the highest I've seen. 68 was the prior high, which is about a week ago. The 900 deaths is similar to yesterday, had 914 deaths. And so it's no longer the number that Trump likes to talk about, 200 deaths, is 900 deaths a day. And it's going up, you know, on that ledger, for the deaths, the three states that have the highest numbers all topped 100 today. California's at 115, but like I said, I think that'll go a little bit higher before the day's out. Florida set a record, 156 today, beat yesterday's record of 112. Texas set a record, 129 today, beats yesterday's record of 110. So the numbers are going up. South Carolina had 72 deaths today. It's expanding, and the cases are going up. And the cases are basically, you know, Trump is right. The cases are somewhat limited by the testing. And the CDC says, well, you should do enough testing so that your percent positive is in the range of 5% or less. That if you got more than 5% positives, whether there's a lot more cases out there that you're not picking up because you're not really doing enough testing. And like I said, the children in Florida were 31%. The states that are high, like Arizona and Florida and Texas, are all in the 20-some-odd percent. And there's 71,000 cases today. If they went and they tested at a level that would bring the positives down in the 5% range, we would have had 100,000 today. So, you know, there's little doubt that the 100,000 is going to be reached. It's not going to be too far. It'll be reached before school starts in at least the northern areas, which is usually towards the end of August. And, you know, as you said, with the NFL players, there's no way that the schools are going to stay open for any length of time. And many, you know, the number of school districts that have said it's going to be, online only continues to increase because it's insanity to go and say when you've got 25% of the people testing are testing positive and 31% of the children are positive, says, well, let's just maintain some distance, see if we can get them all to keep their masks on. You know, you got kindergartners going to school wearing a mask all day. I mean, it's ludicrous. It's total insanity. And then to top it off, Trump's press secretary comes out and says, quote unquote, science will not stand in the way of opening the schools. And that, you know, I said that Trump is the anti-science candidate. And he's got his press secretary saying out there, they don't care about science. They want the schools open. He gave the order. It's got to be open. It's not just open. It's got to be open for 5 days a week that students can go to class. And it doesn't, they don't really care about the science. And so got to put more warriors out there to go up against the virus. And the virus can say, thank you. There's more. More victims out there, and you just keep feeding the virus, and you kind of wonder, why are the numbers going up? It's past April, it's hot out, and the numbers keep on going up. So you've got complete morons running the show, going to making their proclamations, and basically killing Americans. So the U.S. has more deaths than anyone in the world, any place in the world. They got more cases than any place in the world. And the numbers are increasing at a higher rate than, well, I don't know, maybe Brazil can give the U.S.
Brazil's
a run for his
up
money.
There. Here's Kaylee McEnany. All right, let's hear her pronounce about science. I got this queued up here.
To see schools open, as has been clear, we don't think our children should be locked up at home with devastating consequences when it's perfectly safe for them to go to school, as emphasized by many medical experts. So the president is very keen on seeing schools reopen. It's the only thing that's fair to America's children. Yeah, the president has said unmistakably that he wants schools to open. And I was just in the Oval talking to him about that. And when he says open, he means open and full, kids being able to attend each and every day at their school. The science should not stand in the way of this. And as Dr. Scott Atlas said, I thought this was a good quote. Of course, we can do it. Everyone else in the Western world, our peer nations, are doing it. We are the outlier here. The science is very clear on this, that, you know, for instance, you look at the JAMA
All right. You got it.
Yeah.
Science should not stand in the way.
We're the outlier because of how many cases we have. Europe is sending kids to school because Europe got the virus under control. They've got a dozen cases a day. We've got 70,000. I mean, that's what the difference is. We are an outlier because the whole program has been bungled so badly. That we are going up. We're getting more cases every day. Europe is and Asia, they have low numbers and their numbers are relatively stable and they have contact tracing. So if any new cases pop up, they go ahead and put them in quarantine and control the spread. The U.S. can't do that. A, they can't test. Because they've got 7-day wait for the test results to come back. So you can't do contact tracing when you aren't going to find out the results for 7 days. People aren't going to go and stay in quarantine when they don't even know that they're positive. And so contact tracing can't be done because there aren't enough tests. The national labs, Quest and LabCorp, are backed up, so there are 7-day waits for results. You can't actually even get the test done. There's you drive up and get in line. If you're there after 9 o'clock, the line's closed already because people started lining up at 2 in the morning or the night before.
They're actually doing that, huh? Wow.
What, lining up?
The
line's closed at 9 a.m. At 9 a.m., they've got too many cars to test, and that's it. You can't get in line anymore. So if you get there at 9:10, you have to come back the next day or wait around and get in line for the next day. And people run out of gas waiting in line because they're in line for 10 hours in the parking lot and leave their cars on because it's hot. They need the air conditioner. It's absurd. And this is 6 months after the fact, you know, and the mask controversy, you know, I think it's worth reviewing the mask situation. I mean, I knew that there was a mask problem back in February when I got a phone call from an emergency room physician in Oregon. And he was saying, you know, they're telling us that we don't need N95 masks. And he said, you know, the virus is airborne, even if it's droplets.
Yeah.
Why are they claiming that we don't need, we can use any mask, we don't need N95? And I said, you need an N95. If they're telling you don't need an N95, it's because they don't have them. Yeah. And that's exactly what happened. So they're telling emergency room physicians that they don't need N95 masks because they didn't have N95 masks. And then they told the general public that you don't need a mask because it's going to give you a false sense of security. And, it's not really necessary. And the reason they told the public that is because they didn't have N95 masks. And if they told the public that they need masks, there'd be a run on the N95 masks, and the limited number that they had would be hoarded by the public, and the healthcare workers would not be able to get the limited supply that they had. And so initially it said, well, we don't really know that, that the general public needs the mask. They don't come into that much contact with the virus, and the healthcare workers who come into contact with the virus on a minute-by-minute basis, because they're treating patients that come in that are affected, need the mask. And then they switched it. They went and they decided that other countries seem to have good success using the mask, and they have other data that showed that the masks were useful. And they even had from New York that the infection rate, you know, the percent with antibodies was lower for healthcare workers than it was the general public, indicating that the masks were certainly working, because they had much more exposure to the virus, but much lower positivity, and they regularly wore the masks. And so then they came up with the alternative, which was you can wear a scarf. you can take a cloth mask. You know, it's got big holes in it, but most of the virus is in large droplets, and that the mask can prevent the projection of the virus. And it's not so much that it's going to protect you, because a cloth mask, it's got big holes in it, and viruses are real tiny, you know, just like Trump said.
Well, as you're shooting a BB gun through a tennis net.
Invisible enemy, but it right. would at least protect others from you, so that if everybody wears a mask, then you'll at least be protected from the other people infecting you, because they won't be able to, you know, project the virus that far. And right. so that replaced the N95, and they still don't recommend the N95, because there's still a shortage of N95. So it's still an issue. And now it looks like with the virus increases that there'll be more shortages for the healthcare workers. There's already shortages, and there's no end in sight as far as the virus is concerned. Most expect a wave in the fall, but at the rate, you know, in the rest of the world, that may be the case. But in the United States, they can't get rid of the first wave. The first wave is still here. In Europe, the first wave's gone. In Asia, the first wave's gone. They're waiting for the second wave. Right. They expect the second wave. And in the United States, it never got down to baseline. It never got anywhere near baseline. The number of cases back in April got up to about 35,000 a day, and then it dropped down to around 20,000-25,000, and it kind of plateaued there and stayed at that level. Mm-hmm. And then when the lockdown started easing, then it started going up. So first it went up to back up to 35,000 a day, then it was at 40,000 a day, then it was at 50,000 a day, then it was at 60,000 a day. Now it's at 70,000 a day, with projections that it's going to go to 100,000 a day, and those projections are probably low. So, like I said, if they tested to get down to 5% positive, it would have been 100,000 today. It would have been well over 100,000 today. The only reason it's to 70,000 is that tests are limited. So they're not real. So they're testing and they're getting 25-30% positives, because there's so much virus out there. And just as expected, now the death rate's starting to go up. And so the various locations are getting, you know, refrigerated trucks, because they don't have enough space in the morgue for the dead body. And those numbers are going up. And then you've got the governors. I mean, total idiots. I mean, these guys, Kemp is suing Atlanta because they have an ordinance that says you have to wear a mask. And they're saying you can't have an ordinance making mask wearing mandatory. And so we're going to sue you for having an ordinance that says you have to wear a mask, even though multiple stores are now implementing that nationwide, that Walmart's doing it, Target's doing it, CVS is doing it,
they're
Publix
all doing
is
it.
Doing it. They don't care what state you're in. That if you're going to go into their store, you need to wear a mask. So Kemp is suing the city of Atlanta because they say you need to wear a mask, and he says, well, you can't mandate anything that I don't say you can do. And so he's suing the state for mandating a mask. Everybody knows you're supposed to be wearing a mask. They're ignoring the people that say, well, I don't really want to wear a mask. They're imitating the president, that they don't want to wear a mask because they just don't want to. You know, they have their rights. They can contaminate whoever they want to in the world. You know, they come within 6 feet, it's your problem, not mine. So,
well, and the real, so got, come on, the look, the we know from science that the virus in particulate form, aerosolized particulates, can hang in the air for close to an hour in the right circumstances. Right. They've determined this in the lab. They also have determined that the actual distance of a normal exhalation in a still room can reach out to 17 feet further in a sneeze or a cough. But that's just a normal exhalation. It'll move out. So anyway, these are things that the average reports are just not talking about anymore. They won't. Go ahead.
Well, it's a mixture. I mean, you got some aerosolized, you got some just in droplets. It
kind of
depends
right.
on
That's
how
right.
it's coming out.
That's
and,
right.
and the mask, the mask, you know, even the cloth mask help to a degree going out. They don't do that much coming in, but going out.
That's
they,
a very important, and I concur with that 100%. And if you remember, back in January, one of the first things I said is everybody ought to pop on a mask, but there aren't any in
right.
the National
right.
Reserve. I made that right. very clear. And
right.
anyway, go on.
So the situation is, as you said, there's a shortage of N95s, and they're trying to
but doctors don't need them. Remember, you don't need them.
Right.
You don't need them. Don't
right.
worry, you guys.
Right. So,
don't worry.
So they're trying to limit them to the healthcare workers that do need them, and they're trying to give a stopgap. You know, wear a cloth mask is not as good as N95, but it's better than nothing. And
right.
you know, I've read numbers that say it's like 70%. You know, instead of being 95% of the particles excluded, 70% of the particles are excluded.
Well, it's
so
better 30% than nothing. Okay,
get in,
come on. Yeah.
And 30 is better than 100, but the idea that the masks are debatable, and that there's lawsuits saying, well, you can't mandate, you can't wear a mask, even though the recommendation is to wear a mask. You can't mandate that you have to wear a mask, is what they're saying. Where the recommendation is to require a mask, and most of the states now actually do have that regulation that if you're outside and you're in contact with other people, that you are supposed to be wearing a mask. That's just the rule. And like I said,
I guess it varies from state to state as to whether that's public property or private property or both. I don't know that this state talks about private property.
I don't think they distinguish. They distinguish whether you're going to come in contact with other people. Mm. And So if you're going outside and you're going to some place where you're going to be passing by other people, you should be wearing a mask. If you're, you know, in your backyard and there's nobody there, you don't need a mask. If you're going out, you know, on a trail or something, and there you're not going to really run into many people, that's not going to be as big a deal. But if you're in a park where there's a lot of people around, then you're supposed to wear a mask.
Well, the most important thing, I think, on the agenda right now is to track and monitor the CFR. That's what we're looking at. And it hasn't been long enough yet. We need another 2 weeks probably to find out how serious the trend is in terms of rising deaths. Maybe another week. We'll know.
Now, you're going to see the debt. They've already talked and
they're up to 900.
But they've already said it was either in Texas or in Florida. Mm-hmm. That's now getting into nursing homes again. And so
again,
it's just a matter of time for that to go up. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, everybody knows that the nursing homes are a major problem. The virus gets in there, it runs through the nursing homes, and there's all these precautions to keep it from happening, and it's not happening. And the reason it's not happening is because the people, the employees at the nursing home, go out and about, and if there's a lot of virus around, they can get infected, and they don't have to be symptomatic. And if they go into the nursing home and they've got the virus, then it starts to spread there. So it's just a matter of time. And you know, the only way you're going to keep that under control is to have extensive testing. And they don't have the tests. So there's a shortage of tests. So that the employees aren't being tested, and they're getting infected, and then they're going to work. And some of them work at more than one nursing home, so they go to more than one location, and the virus starts to spread in the nursing home, and they try to keep them, you know, separate, and I don't know, they're probably wearing masks, and they're probably limiting visits, and they're putting all these restrictions on, but the virus still ends up getting in because there's so much virus in circulation. Then when it gets into the nursing home, the deaths start to go up. It's well known that there's an age relationship. There's also comorbidities. And so if you get into the older population in or out of nursing homes, you're going to get more in the hospitals. I think the number is something like 68,000 hospitalized patients currently in the United States that are, you know, so
CV, coronavirus patients?
So if you got 68,000 people in the hospital, they're not all coming out. And so the deaths are going to start going up. And it's just the progression. That's just the way it works. It may be a little bit better if they, you know, on the treatments now, they got a couple of drugs that some are promising. They've got more experience. So as far as rolling the patients over, putting on their stomachs, you know, delaying ventilators. The ventilators don't always aren't the best first option. And then, you know, spending more time calibrating the ventilator for the individual patient. But then once they start getting overwhelmed, all of those start fading. You know, they basically have to get the patient hooked up and move on to the next one because it takes time to do the intubations and there's new patients coming in the door, so they can't spend 45 minutes calibrating and getting the airflow and mixtures correct. And so they don't have as good as success, and that's what the concern is that when you overwhelm the healthcare delivery system, then you end up having more deaths. And that if you overwhelm it and you have to eliminate elective surgeries, then these people that have elective surgery still need the surgeries. And when they get delayed, then they can end up causing problems that happen because they didn't get the surgery that they need. So the healthcare gets and you end up with more deaths. But the point is that the numbers are going up in July. You know, this is not the fall season where you expect to have more respiratory disease and it's harder to diagnose because you got influenza.
Look, yeah. We're 8 weeks away from fall, I think.
Right.
It's coming.
And then the whole idea about the children. You know, the children don't get as sick. And, you know, it's not that you got a whole bunch of children that are going into the ICU. But you have these syndromes, that you got these rashes, you've got results from a cytokine storm. The long-term effects of those are unknown. Mm-hmm. This is a new virus. It's got a polybasic cleavage site. It doesn't matter if it's a child or an adult. It can go to many different cell types. It can enter them, and it can cause problems. Mm-hmm. And even if you've got a good immune system, that may be good enough to keep you from getting pneumonia and keep you from going on a ventilator and keep you from dying from that. But it could cause damage to other organs because you end up with a lot of virus and your immune system kicks in and it's robust and it does a good job of clearing out the virus, and you've got, you know, younger patients generally do better. They don't have the comorbidities and they get discharged, but it's not clear. I mean, there are x-rays or CAT scans that indicate that there's lung damage in some cases that were infected and weren't even symptomatic that they were infected. They looked at, if you recall, way back in January, and they gave examples in Guangdong province of a child that the parents insisted that they have a CT scan, even though their child
I remember.
Was not symptomatic.
That was the one child
the
in the whole family.
Members,
yeah.
Right.
I remember.
And they saw lung damage, you know, on the casket.
No symptoms, but
not,
they did see the signs. Yeah.
Correct. And that's what the concern is. The concern is if you have a lot of virus and it's infecting children and they're not getting sick enough to go to the hospital, they're not even necessarily showing any symptoms. Mm-hmm. They're still having damage to their lungs. And they're still getting virus. And so if you go and you put them all in an elementary school with a whole bunch of kids that are infected and they all have the virus, you're going to get more children infected. And then the teachers are going to get infected. And then the parents are going to get infected. And then the grandparents are going to get infected. And so the idea that you can go ahead and it's safe to put them in their schools, as some of these governors are saying, you know, they become doctors now. They're experts and cherry pick the data and say, oh, see, here's this and here's that. And they ignore the data that says there's serious issues. And that's what Tony Fauci was saying when Trump was saying, oh, the death rate's very low. And he said, well, there's more problems than just the death rate with this virus, including children. And that's what the warnings are now. And the CDC was supposed to come out with guidance this week. And guess what? They're not coming out with guidance this week. And now they say, well, it'll be out by August. By the time they come out with the guidance, it's going to be too late to implement the guidance because school's going to be starting. So that they've got issues on what they're going to implement. And then speaking of the CDC, they switched over the data, so it goes to HHS, and now data is already disappearing from the CDC website. So this whole idea that they're going to be in charge of the data now. You know, they can't
well, we
hide you
about
with
that.
The science, so they can change it. Right? They're going to hide the data. They're going to take the day and say, it looks good to us. You don't have to worry about this. You know, we checked it out. Not a problem here. Just move along. And so they're going to start hiding the data. And the body bags are still going to get filled. They're still going to have the trucks sitting outside of the hospital are going to be full of bodies. And they're not going to be able to hide it. They've got a major problem. They've got terrible mismanagement. They've got a bunch of governors that are basically, Trump's good Germans. You know, they got to follow their orders. And you know, even though it's not really in the best interest of their citizens, they're going to say, well, we didn't know. You know, they said, you know, I got this report. It says children are fine with the virus. You know, they rarely get pneumonia or go into the ICU, and we thought it was fine. We didn't know there was these long-term effects, and you can't take those back. You find out about that a year or two after the fact. And they're nuts. I mean, they're totally nuts. There's no argument that says that all the children have to go to school 5 days a week. You know, there's no logic in that. Most of the schools are offering some type of hybrid, where some of the students go to class, yeah, some of the students
every other
are
day
online.
They split it in half.
Yeah. Right. They're not as crowded. They can spread them out a little bit more so that when they're in school, it's not as risky as it would be that if everybody went to school every day. They asked the parents what they would prefer, so the parents that it's a hardship to have the kids stay home could opt for spend more time in school. For those that are fine with the kids staying home, in fact, they would prefer to do it online and avoid the exposures. They have that option. Trump's trying to say, well, I'm the president, and you have to do X, Y, and Z. And he doesn't have anything to do with the schools. This is a local issue. This isn't the federal government mandating that you have to go to learn in some specific way. It's supposed to be left up to the local school districts. They're supposed to look at their situation. They've got states that have very high levels. But at the rate they're going, they're going to have these high levels in most of the states by the time they get around to mid or late August, because the numbers are going up. And the numbers that I, you know, it was 70,000. The reason it got up to 70,000 wasn't just because of the four states that were doing it. The four states with the highest amounts are pretty much capped out. They don't test enough to go higher. I mean, California had 9,661, so they were just under 10,000. Florida got up to 13,900, so they got up to almost their record. And Texas got just over 10,000. They're not going up a whole lot higher than that because they don't have enough test centers to test anymore. They're maxed out at testing. And they're not only maxed out on giving the test, they're maxed out on getting the results, because then they send it off and they don't hear the results for a week after that. So the way they got up to 70,000 is with these other states. I mean, the states that had close to 1,000, Michigan had 900 cases today. Georgia had 3,400 today. Ohio had 1,200 today. Washington State had 1,200 today. Virginia had 900. Tennessee had 2,400. North Carolina had 2,100. Alabama had 2,000. Mississippi had 1,200. South Carolina had 1,800. Nevada had 1,400. You've got all of these states that are now reporting over 1,000 cases a day. And they're not topped out yet. So those thousands are going to go to 2,000 in a week. And the ones that are 2,000 are going to 4,000 in a week. And the U.S. is going to be reporting 100,000 cases a day by mid-August or the end of August. But sometime in August, they'll hit 100,000. The only way they won't hit 100,000 is if they stop testing, which, you know, if Trump has his way, they will.
Or control the resulting numbers. What's the future here? 6 months? A year? It's going to be endemic, apparently, the virus. Not going to go completely away. When will it successfully run through the majority of its cannon fodder? How long?
Well, the virus will, you know, like you said, it will be endemic. It'll end up being like flu. The virus will be circulating throughout the world. How seasonal it'll be when it settles down, I don't know. It might have some seasonal component to it. Yeah. And it won't, you know, as people develop immunity, you might have the death rate go down. There's a bunch of different vaccines in development. It'll depend on how effective those vaccines are and how they'll probably end up being widespread, but it might take 6 months to get the world's population vaccinated. And then some people are going to, you know, refuse the vaccine for whatever reason. And some areas will have high levels. I mean, there's a lot more viruses that is showing up in, you know, countries with very poor, health facilities. I mean, there's a lot of virus showing up in Africa.
Well, third world,
with Brazil. Brazil's got all of South America covered, as well as most of Central America now.
True.
So, so those countries are actually, I think Peru is number five now, and those numbers are increasing, and the effects of those is really not that clear. They all have the Italian strain, so that part's clear. But when you have this much virus and this many humans, so it's jump species, it's not floating around in bats, it's in humans, and is running into humans that are developing immunity, then you have selection for variants that the immune response no longer works for. So how quickly it's going to mutate away from the immunity isn't really clear yet. They really haven't had this virulent of a coronavirus in humans before. The other ones have been, you know, rather mild and cold viruses other than SARS and MERS. And neither of them really gained enough transmission to turn into a pandemic. They've all been fairly localized epidemics, and SARS kind of faded away, and MERS is pretty well limited to the Middle East. But this virus is everywhere. It's all over the world, and it's going to be a continuing battle. And because of this polybasic cleavage site and its ability to infect so many different tissues, and there's no long-term data yet, it's a little bit hard to predict how bad it's going to be. But if it's like, you know, the more severe flu pandemics like 1918, and virtually everybody's comparing this to 1918 now, and I think in 1918 the U.S. had about 200,000 deaths. It's going to have well over 200,000 deaths from this. I mean, there'll be 200,000 deaths.
That's a very interesting statistic to present. Yeah. That brings it home.
And the population was less then, but I don't think anything with confidence that there's going to be 200,000 deaths in the U.S. It's going to hit 200,000 deaths in a month or two.
You know, America was more rural then. 100 years ago, 90% of America lived in rural settings, 10% in the cities. Now it's reversed. 10% rural, 90% city. So for 200,000 to have died in a largely rural country.
Well, no, it had the war. The troop movements is really what moved the virus around. So,
right.
It ended World War One. So
right.
You had enough troops that were moving the virus around. And then you had, you know, these celebrations in cities. They always compare Philadelphia to St. Louis, that Philadelphia decided to have celebrations because the war was over, and St. Louis said not to have parades. And then Philadelphia had this big burst of activity with a lot of deaths because the hospitals couldn't handle them. And that's the whole idea of you know, flattening the curve but limiting the amount of exposure and avoiding these crowds. But the troop movements, I mean, moving these troops on ships where they're all crowded together, they're on ships mm-hmm. for several days. The virus, you know, transmits fairly easily, and they still had big cities. So some of the rural populations had very little immunity, you know, especially some of the area. Well, they weren't necessarily rural. Some of these island communities that hadn't been exposed to that much flu in general, you know, did very, very poorly. That had a very high case fatality rate. But you had a couple different things going. I mean, it was rural, but there was a war, and they were mobilizing, you know, troops, and troops brought it home to families, and you still had, you know, a fair enough number of people in some of the larger cities. But it's the population is more mobile now, and it's bigger, but there's no guarantees that it's going to stop at 200,000. I mean, it's now about 140,000 in the U.S. And with the cases going up to 70,000 a day, heading to 100,000 a day, that's, you know, three times higher than it was at the peak in the spring. So you got three times as many cases and you got over 100,000 when it was, you know, in the spring. You could easily project that to be 300,000 in the fall, and all of a sudden, take 300,000 plus 100,000, you're up to 400,000. And the only reason it got under control in the spring is because of the lockdowns. And if there's enough resistance to doing the lockdowns in certain areas anyway, that those numbers can go up. I mean, the original projections was going to be 1 to 2 million deaths. And then it got down to 100 to 200,000. Mm-hmm. But if there's resistance to doing that, or people say, oh, I need a mask, you can't tell me not to wear a mask or whatever. I mean, people aren't that stupid. Some are, but most aren't. And they realize that there's a problem here and that they can't ignore the problem. I mean, Trump thinks he can ignore it and it'll just go away and, you know, go away like a miracle. But it isn't. And people will see that. And when the numbers start going up and you're got another 100,000 dying, and they won't all be in nursing homes anymore. You've already decimated that population. It'll be, mm-hmm. you know, people that in your neighborhood type thing. Because that's what's happened. That's the difference between the Herald wave, where it's kind of spotty and bouncing around, and then a true, you know, second wave where it kind
this
of
this is actually worn both hats. This has done both.
Yeah, well, that's what the problem is. It's been so mismanaged here that in the U.S., the U.S. just stands out alone. They were far away from China. They weren't the first ones that got it. That it was in China, and then it was in Europe, and it was real uh-huh. spotty in the U.S. And it was just so mismanaged that the U.S. just zoomed right up to number one, and then they kind of started to knock it down, and then Trump said, oh, you can go back go back to normal. Coast is clear. And yeah, he said that in Arizona. Arizona's in the worst shape of any state. He went to Honeywell and said, what do you got this you know, lockdown for? You're good to go. And the governor's, president said, so I guess we're good to go. And, the hospitals are full. And where we are.
On Thursday, and we'll find out where we are tomorrow on Friday.
We'll find out tomorrow. Tomorrow will probably beat today. So we got 72,000 to beat, and we got a good shot at it tomorrow. We'll see.
All right. Thanks, Henry. Be well. Take care.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Dr. Henry Nyman, and we will be back with you in 21 hours tomorrow night, Friday. Take care. Talk then.